it is so good to be here tonight. And we have started out. We just arrived, I don't know, the day before yesterday, I think it was. And went for a tour of London yesterday and didn't realize, because this is Heather's first time, and didn't realize it was the changing of the guard, which was awesome. So I hadn't seen that for a long time, and Heather, of course, had never seen it, so it was pretty good. We saw Prince Philip, or I did, but Heather was too busy trying to find a camera too. And I'm like, there he is in the carriage. But so it was good. So it's really good to be back here tonight, and I'm believing God is going to do something awesome, aren't you? I just believe that God wants to do something amazing. We've just had amazing times in our church. This year particularly has been incredible. And I know that there is an awakening worldwide. Isn't coming, it's here. It's already here. And I think I want to talk on a few things. We've just come out of what we call our Australian Prophetic Council. And we have a number of council members. And then we did a three-day summit, which was the first time we've ever done that. We usually do it for one day, but this year we did it for 3 days. And we've had the most amazing time. And this year has been very significant. And I believe that we're ready. I'm not sure about you, but I'm ready for God to really just come in and I'm just ready. I mean, we're seeing amazing things. We've seen such growth in our church. We had growth. As soon as I got back, we had growth again. And now we've just seen growth again, you know, in the last few weeks. And this year I've done a prophetic school in our church, 12 weeks. Then we did another 12 weeks in advanced school. I did a school of the prophetic in New Zealand. I've done one in Sydney. And so we've been doing them all over because God is just doing amazing things. It's just awesome. So anyway, in saying that, I'll just go through a couple of these and then we'll start. So actually the prophetic school that I did, I've done on, we've got the workbooks and the CDs. I've gone through quite a few things that people don't talk about, which I think we should talk about, like angels, the cloud of witnesses. Who are they? Oh, don't mention them. I mean, something might happen. What do portals mean? Things like this. So I talk a lot on that, and that those, you can buy them separately or together. Dreams. This is a CD set that I did. I did it actually for the school because at this point in time, we are seeing more dreams than ever before. People are dreaming. Do you know, when people are depressed, I'm going to tell you something. It's often because you're not dreaming. You're not sleeping long enough. You've got to sleep 6 to 8 hours to have dreams. And when people are depressed, it's usually because they're not downloading their dreams. What do dreams mean? How do you translate, you know, and interpret your dreams? That one's that. This one I love. I'm hearing myself coming back, so I'm going to put that down. At the beginning of this year, you ready? I'm going to talk some things tonight, so just get ready. Oh, some of you might freak out, but that's okay. You'll be okay. You'll freak out in God. So, at the beginning of when I got back from England, I'm going to show you something that happened in a minute, but everything happened. It was like God just started to do things and take us to new levels. And there was one night we had, I think it might have been Brian Simmons speaking, and suddenly he said something, I don't know what he said, and I just went into an encounter. And it was like God just took me into, I'm in the church and I've gone into like a trance. I'm at the front of the church. And suddenly, God just took me into a room in heaven, and there were the three, there was the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son. And they were standing in this massive room talking, and they were talking numbers. And I was listening and thinking, what am I doing here? I don't know why I'm here. And suddenly they were talking about all sorts of different mathematical equations. I failed math, so it was, you know, it was all over my head. I didn't know what they were on about. Suddenly Jesus turned around to me and said, we would love more of our body, of our sons, of our beloved, to come into this room. We want them here. We wish they would come here often. And I'm like, I wish I would too, but I don't know how I got here. You know, I mean, how can I tell anyone else to get here? I haven't got a clue how I got here. I'm just here. And I remember the night sort of finished. The ministry team was supposed to be praying for people. And I know I just needed to go home. And so I went home and went straight back into the encounter. And from that time, God started to show me about numbers. And I've taught on it. I taught on it in our prophetic school. Have you ever wondered why there are seven dwarfs and not six? Have you ever wondered why there's seven wonders of the world? Why aren't there five? And so I started learning from a rabbi about numbers. Why is number 11 a lot of people seeing 11 at the moment? Why 11-11? And if you see 11 or you see 11-11, like just before the Paris thing last night, we had a lot of people dreaming of 11. And I start to show you why. And this is DVDs and CDs. And so get ready for that one. A lot of people, every number means something. But we don't look at it. Do you know where it says, His name is Wonderful? And that name there actually means wonderful number. He is a number. Everything, every Hebrew letter is a number. Some of you aren't smiling at me, but anyway, there you go. So we've had such amazing encounters. Maybe you just want to, can we show that picture now? Just, oh, there it is. It's up there. Now, you might, we've got all the lights, so you can't see it. If you can see, this is what happened in our church. Now, this was taken with an iPad. That's our pastor, and she went up to announce the guest speaker. Suddenly, one of our youth pastors said, Abby was looking at me and she said, can you see that? I said, yes. I said, let's take a photo. So she grabbed her iPad. We weren't sure. And you can see right there where that angelic, you see the wings? Wow. It was just, and from that moment, it was like God just did something in our house. We have had so many encounters. Now, things broke out that night. God healed. I mean, it was amazing. Some of you are looking like, oh, well, I don't really believe that. There's lights or something. I can assure you there are no lights. We've all tried to stand exactly in that place and get our photo taken. Nothing has ever happened. But God is just breaking out. I tell you, God is doing something. And are you ready? Because, you know, I tell you, Britain, England, you better get ready. You know, this was stuff that your ancestors walked in. Where have we gone wrong? And we say, oh, well, that, you know, she's just got lights ahead above her. Well, I mean, I can assure you she doesn't have those two wings like that above her. And she doesn't have wings. She's almost angelic. But God wants to do something. God wants to come with such an encounter in England. I'm telling you, get ready. Because when I felt to come over this time, I felt that God was saying, come now, because He's ready to break out. So let's pray and let's start. Father, I just thank You tonight. I thank You for what You're doing. I thank You, Father. Oh, Papa, we just love You. Father, we just thank You that You are such a good, good Father. And tonight, Lord, I just thank You that it's called an encounter night. Well, they didn't just name it that because it sounded like a good name. It was an encounter because we want to encounter You as much as You. Well, not even as much. You want to encounter us. So, Father, we thank You tonight, Papa, that You are already here. Father, just breathe on each one of us tonight. Papa, there are people here who need healing. I just thank You, Father, that tonight is their night. Papa, there are people here who have said, I so want an encounter with You. Father, I thank You tonight that it's their night. Father, tonight, You are coming in such a way. Father, I thank You that this is England's time. I just sense that the Lord is saying you've got a few more months, because in 2016 there is such a sweeping wind of the Holy Spirit that's coming through England again. And are you ready for the signs and the wonders that God is about to bring in this nation? Are you ready? Are you ready? So, Papa, we thank you. We just say tonight we're ready. We're not sure what it means, but we're ready. And, Father, if we're not 100% ready, well, just get us ready. You're a good, good dad. And we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I have been thinking this afternoon, and even when I was just sitting in the chair, there's a couple of things I want to say before I go into the message. And revival is not just a substance. I don't know, I think the church thinks, you know what, revival, let's pray for revival. Come on, God, give us revival. And I think we sort of think that revival is an ethereal substance that's about to happen. It's something out there that you know, we've just got to drag in. I want to tell you, revival is a man. Revival is Jesus. Revival is the body of Christ. Revival is a body. And God is saying tonight that revival, don't just pray for revival. Revival is here. You know why? Because you are here. As He is, so are you. So England isn't sort of, oh God, we need revival again. Revival is already here. And I think it is so apt that you have changed this church to Revival Church. Because you are revival. And it's just a matter of the body just stepping into that realm. It's like stepping into healing, stepping into whatever realm. Just step in. He is here. Revival is a man. It's a body. And we've got to change our language from, oh, revival, come on, we just need. What are we trying to drag down? What is it that we, what do we really think revival is? Some cloud that's going to pop over us? And we've got to change the language from, oh God, bring revival, to it's here. We have to change our prayer language, our language in prayer, that it wasn't just, oh God, bring awakening. God, bring awakening. It's awakening is already here. I mean, we're seeing probably in our church now, you know, maybe some weekends, 12, at least 12. That's in our church saved. That's not the ones on the street. And on the street, we're out on the street. Our kids are out on the street, our youth. I mean, we were talking tonight saying that many of our young people are going into the strip clubs. Because one of our bouncers from one of the big strip clubs, it's like going down to Soho and the red light, you know, area. And it's called, you know, we go into Fortitude Valley. It's the strip place. One of the bouncers got saved, so he takes all the youth back in. And our prostitutes are getting, I don't even know who they are anymore. Our church has grown so much, I don't know who's who in the zoo. I go back and they're all new, all the service team, I don't even know their name. We're in revival. We're in awakening. And I was sitting having dinner at the summit with a whole group of people well, there was a whole lot of girls in a room, and I said, just leave me alone, I just want to sleep for a few minutes. I closed my eyes, and they're talking to each other, saying, oh yeah, when, you know, I was a prostitute, and she's, and I'm like, I'm opened my eyes. I thought, I don't want her to see, I'm shocked, because she's on our service team and everything, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, you were one of our prostitutes. And you don't even know. God is doing things. You know, on the streets, are you out there praying for people? Because that's where it's going to start. This isn't the message. I'm just warming up at the moment because I really feel that right now. I want to just break something for you. I was going to the petrol station the other day. And I'm in a hurry. I had to be somewhere. And I'm running it, and I'm filling up the car. And as I did, the Lord said, see that car coming in? I said, yeah. He said, I want you to pay his petrol. I'm like, what? And it's a good car. It's a great car. It's better than my car. brand new car, expensive car. I said, Lord, is there anyone else up there? He said, I want you to go in and pay this amount off his petrol. I'm like, oh, no way. God said, pay. Okay, Lord. I'm in a hurry. So just as I'm running in to pay the petrol, I turn around and the guy gets out of the car and he's only got one leg. And he's got a prosthetic leg. And so I pay for the petrol. And I'm going out. The guy now has come in and the petrol guy said, your petrol's paid. She paid it. And he said, what? And I said, it's my random act of kindness. And I'm trying to get out the door. And he's saying, and he's just bursting into tears. And I said, Jesus loves you. He wants to heal you. And he was, he'd been in Afghanistan, got his leg blown off. You know, that's, you know what? He's just crying. Revival at the petrol station. What, that's how we start. And that's how England is going to start. You know, when it does start, I don't want you to shut it down. Now, why am I doing this tonight? Because I believe that when you've named this Revival Church, it's because it is Revival Church. You're going to start to see some things in here. And the thing is, what the church has always done, every time, it's like the Spirit of God breaks out, we want to shut it down. Oh, well, you know, there's a bit of flesh. Hello. Yes, I'm still in my flesh. You are going to find flesh when God breaks out. Let's be mature enough to get over it. Do you know what I mean? If there is no dirt in the stalls, guess what? There's no cows. Well, I want cows in the stall. So if there's cows in the stall, there's going to be mess on the ground. And when it comes, I said this in the prophetic conference and I feel to say it tonight. There are three types of people in the church. It's the same as when you have a baby. The father, he knows nothing. He hasn't got a clue what's going on. The only thing is, when the woman says, it's coming, he's like, all he knows to do is get his pants on, get the keys to the car and drive. That's it. There's another person. There's the mother. She's in pain. She's birthing something. She knows that something is about to be born and it's bigger than what she thought. It's like, how come this thing started this big and now it's, and somehow I remember saying, is there any other way out of this? Can I vomit it up? You know, there is the mother. She is birthing. She will be in pain. She will feel the pain of the vision. There is only one person in the birthing room who knows what's going on. And it's the midwife. And she only has one thing in mind. That the mother and the baby survive. And when we're coming into this new thing that God is doing, and I can tell you it is new. Church, you better get ready when you see angels turn up. When we are seeing blood, we see deaf ears open almost every week. Deaf ears, bang. Our pastor, she just prays, bang, ears are open. We see healings every single week. If we don't, something's wrong. God hasn't turned up. And it's not his fault, it's ours. When you are seeing this, you are also going to see other things. And you have to be aware that there will be those in the church who have no clue what's going on. They will be like the father. Now, when I had the baby, my first, I was a nurse, a bad one, but I had no clue what was going on. My doctor said to me that day, I saw him the day it was born. He said, Amanda, that baby is just about ready to come out. You want to make it quicker? Take some castor oil. Well, I went home and said, Rog, how much castor oil do you think I should take? He said, I don't know, but there's a lot in there. He said, you probably have to take a lot. So I grabbed the bottle. I bought it on the way home. And guess how much I took? The whole bottle. The earth moved under my feet. I can tell you everything moved. 1.5 hours later, bang. I mean, I was having a baby within 1.5 hours. I was in labor.
Roger had no idea what was going on. Roger, I said, Rog, it's coming. He took off. He's out the door. One problem, he forgot me. I'm the one giving birth. He came back 20 minutes later. Where have you been? He said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? He said, I went to find an ambulance and phone one. I said, Roger, we've got a car in the garage. Get in it and drive. Now, all Roger was worried about was he wanted a police escort. So he thought that if we drive 10,000 miles an hour, he'd get a police. I mean, I didn't want a police escort. I just wanted to get to the hospital. When we got there, I was ready to go. And the only one in the room who knew what was going on was the midwife. Now, it's the same in church. You are going to get those who are the fathers. They haven't got a clue what's going on, but they're here anyway. Do you know what I mean? They're just coming. And they won't understand. But it's the midwife's job, the pastor's job, the leader's job in this revival to be able to control them, to be able to say, it's okay. Yeah, someone's doing this and someone's doing that. It's all right. Don't panic. And it's the midwife's job to say to the church, come on, now we've got to push. Come on, we're going to break through. Come on, worship just a bit longer. Well, I don't want to. Because I remember when the doctor said to me, push, I was like, no. I said, you push. I don't want to push, I'm tired. He said, push. And in this revival, you're going to have times when they say, push. And then you're going to think, well, how come we've got to pull back a bit? Because you need to pull back because the vision needs to be birthed. Are you with me? So in this time, sometimes you're going to feel, is this right? What's happening? I don't get it. You don't need to get it. And remember, there are those of you who have birthed this thing in pain. And God's saying that vision is about to be birthed. That thing is about to be birthed. That thing is about to be birthed. And it will cause pain. And you know what? You'll get some weird people. We have very weird. And now we're on TV worldwide. We're on the Discovery Channel. And sometimes you've got to just shoulder the weird ones out from the camera. You know what I mean? You just got to worship like this, you know, and push them out of the way. Why? Because revival, you don't just stop because there's a weird one. Oh, well, there's one weird one. Let's throw the baby out with the bathwater. Come on, England, you have to understand we've got to mature in this. Because this is revival. You're in it. You're it. You know, well, is there anybody else? No, you're it. You know, it's like tag. You're it. Go for it. You should be out on the street. You should be doing things. Come on. When you're in a supermarket. God, I just want a word of knowledge. Just grab one. And let's start bringing this thing. Let's start birthing this thing into Billericay. So the Billericay is so shaken, so upside down, that you will see such a transformation in the city that it will never be the same again. Ha, that was not the message. Now let's see what we can do. I'm telling you, we need an encounter with God. And while just before the prophetic conference, I was in Sydney, and all I heard the whole weekend was, you have to come out. We got to get ready for the new. You have to come out to come in. And one night I had this weird night where I could hardly speak English. And all I kept saying when I was preaching was, you have to come out to come in. And I believe it's time, even for England, that you've got to come out from where you've been, from the season that you've been in, from those things that have hindered you. You've got to come out to come in. And it's time even to come out of the language that we've been using. Oh, revival's coming. Revival's here. Come on. Let's come out of the it will be in the future. Come on. Let's come in to what God is doing now. You've got to. We've got to change what we're thinking. We've got to change what we're speaking. I remember when I was critically ill in hospital. In 1995, when I had to have a transplant, and that's a whole different story. But I was critically ill, weighed about 36 kilos, 30 to 36 kilos in the critical care unit of the transplant unit, dying. And I remember one, because they come in, the doctors, I love it. You're never you. They just walk in with this thing in their hand and say, this is the transplant patient. This is the kidney patient. This is the liver patient. And I looked one day and I said, excuse me, my name isn't transplant. It's Amanda. And I had to change even the way they spoke. Church, we've got to change the way we speak. We've got to get ready for the new positioning that awaits us. There is a positioning that's coming here. I tell you, you are being positioned. Oh, well, we're just out on a Saturday night for some encounter. I'm telling you, there is more than that. And even here, yeah, this hall, certainly some stuff has gone on in it. But I want to tell you, you are being positioned. There is a positioning that's coming for Bill or Ricky. And it's awaiting you. Come on. There is a divine invitation to enter a glory realm of His presence. Are you ready? Are you ready to enter the glory? I don't know about you, but I don't want church the way it was. Three fast, three slow, and that's it. Come on. You know, we've got the song leaders, you know, da-lum, 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 da-da, you know, trying to get us revved up. I don't want that anymore. I want His glory. I want that every time I step up. I want it every time I step in. Every time I just say, Papa, I want His glory. There is a divine invitation that has gone out over England. And He's saying, come on, I want to invite you into my glory. Will you come? But what does it look like? We need an encounter with God, because in an encounter, He reveals His power. He reveals His presence, reveals our assignment. Well, I don't know what I'm called to do. Have an encounter. It's only a realm. Just step into the realm. Well, I don't know. You know, I don't think God could use me to heal someone. Oh, come on. As He is, so are you. As He is, so are you. Could you imagine? Imagine Bill or Ricky with this many people, as He is, so are we. Could you imagine what we could do with Bill or Ricky? Every time we walk out of our house, the earth moves. Every time we touch something, we touch someone, something happens. Could you imagine? Could you imagine what will happen to this town? Oh, we've got to start to dig. How desperately do you want an encounter? How desperate are you? Part of the word that came out in the prophetic council, and I know I'm going from here to there, but just bear with me tonight. I feel like I'm breaking something. How desperate, because one of the words that came out was, we've got to contend. Let's be real. I'm British as well. I've got Irish, Scottish, I've got the lot in me. Everything except Wales. Even Siri on my phone speaks in a Welsh accent. It's like, what is that? I said to Roger, what is this? Calling Roger Wales. I'm like, what's that? We can be too nice. Aussies aren't quite that nice. Do you know what I mean? We're not probably as nice. But the British can be nice. I'm married to a British. And what happens is, when we get to that place of being nice, we forget to contend. And God's saying, come on, how desperate are you for this? How desperate are you to break out? How desperate are you for God in you to break out of you? How badly do you want a move of God in your city? How badly do you want Billericay to change? Are you willing to contend? You know, we can get nice with God. Oh, God, please do this. And God's saying, come on, what about that? What about the man who banged on, you know, who knocked on the door and knocked and knocked? Come on, some of you need to contend. Some of you have promises of God and you need to contend tonight. I am not giving up until, God, you come through. If it means I don't sleep for a month, God, I am not giving up. I remember when I fasted the first time. I was going to do 40 days. I lasted 3. Good intentions. How do people do 40 days? I mean, after 3 days, Roger walked through the door and I had the knife and fork in front of him. I was going to eat him. That cannibalism sounded good. What was it? It was more, God, I am so desperate for you. I am not giving up till I see something. And I feel the same contention is coming now. You know, we're seeing our pastor, she can talk about apples and people are saved. They get saved before she even starts. And not only that, she just lays a hand on someone, they're gone. Bang, and they're healed. I'm like, God, if you do it for her, okay, she's beautiful. But so am I in your eyes, just not quite the same way. God, if you do that for her, come on, God. Why not me? And God, I don't want to have to lay hands on one person without them being healed. And that's my contending now. God, I want every person healed. And God, I'm tired of being insecure when I go to a petrol station or when I go to a shop and you say lay hands on them. And by the time I argue with you, they've walked out the door. And I've said, oh, well, that must be your will. God, I don't want that anymore. God, I want to contend. How hungry are you? Oh, come on, England. When I came over here, I felt there is a move of God that is coming in this nation that has not been seen in this century. How hungry are you to be part of it? Oh, but I'm old. Who cares? So am I. Let's get over it. Well, you know, I that's not who I am. Yeah, are you a Christian? Well, Christ in you, and he is a roaring lion. He wants to come out of you. Come on. Oh, you all look so nice tonight. Like, you all look like there's a brick wall there between me and you. Sorry. I'll preach another message. Come on. There is something that is happening. Jacob, I will not let you go till you bless me. I will not let you go. You know, people, especially last September, I don't know, everyone in America, I was there and they were all buying their, you know, their tribulation food, and Jesus was coming back on the Schmitter or whatever it was. He was coming back, and if you looked at the videos, I'm like, Jesus, you are not coming back yet. And the reason is because I'm not finished. I don't want to get back to heaven and him say to me again, what have you done, Amanda? No, you stay there because I've got too much to do. I am desperate. Oh, I am. Oh, I'm sorry. I feel it tonight. I am desperate. Do you know, we are seeing the biggest exodus at the moment of people. Everyone say, oh, you know, all these refugees, and the church is asking the wrong question. We have never seen an exodus of people like we are now. And I looked and I said, the last exodus, Lord, you split the sea. The last exodus, there was pillars of fire. There was pillars of smoke. The last exodus, there were miracles. Come on, God. I want to see it again. And I'm contending. I'm telling you, get ready, because England, you are about to have, it's a divine invitation. Are you ready tonight? I don't know about you, but Some of you are looking at me like, you look like this. Don't fall asleep on me, because if you sleep, we all sleep. We've got jet lag, you don't. I want this so bad. I will not let you go, God. I will not let you go till we start to see something on these shores. What? Why are you having an encounter evening if you don't want to encounter him? God, a divine invitation. There is something though. Let's just keep on going quickly. What is the language of this move? What is the language? And I think that's the thing. We don't even know what, you know, we can go back to the past and say it's that or it's this. What is the language? And I tell you, God is going to bring something so different into this nation that it's not going to be what it was before. God is doing something so unique. You know, I've been in a church in Canada, and I was just there a few months ago, and I love this church. They're a young couple. They've got 11 kids. 9 of them are adopted. And there is something that's quite incredible that's going on in Canada. Now, it's a small church, and I said when they first started, I got to them, and I said, you know what? God wants to do something very unique in you. And God wants you to bless your city. Totally bless your city. You need to start giving things away. And that was a prophetic word. So they started. And what they did, and they blew every religious thing apart. What they did was every time you came with a new person on a Sunday, your name and the new person's name would go into like a hat. And so on the Sunday, they would pick a name out of the hat and they would win an iPod or an iPad or an iPhone. Well, I'm not sure about you, but I'd like to come to that sort of church. You know what I mean? They can pick a hat, a name out of a hat. I don't care. Well, from there, I gave them another prophetic word the next year. And I said, God wants you to do more than this. God's saying up the ante. Give away car. Then I said, and God's saying something else. You're going to bless the city so much that before a couple of years ends, you're going to give away a house. Well, the next year, which was a couple of years ago, guess what they did? Christmas. Everyone's coming. Hat, name in hat. Pick out the name. They gave away 2 SUVs. Now, if someone's given away 2 SUVs, I don't care. I'll listen for 40 minutes to someone talking. Wouldn't you? But then you know that you've got to be back because your name's going in the hat. I'd come back. Their church all of a sudden exploded. Well, guess what they gave away last year? A house. Can you imagine what that church... That church had 150 people in it. And they gave away a house. They're now on to their 4th service a day. The church has exploded. Because generosity breeds something. Now the mayor wants to know what's going on in the church. Why is everybody coming to this place? And what sort of a church gives away a house? Can you imagine? That's what we're going to have in revival. That's what this move of the God is. It's not about me anymore, it's us. And so we've got to change our language. What is God saying in this? Because if we speak the same way, we're not going to get there. Now, Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9. Let me see if I can go into this and try and wind something up for you. I just felt tonight, come on. I want to blow it out. And some of you were like, well, I don't believe we should put your name in a hat. Well, that's good. Guess what? You didn't win the house. Do you know what I mean? Let's change our language. Let's break some of those things that are binding us. Come on the street. They don't care. They just want a house. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9 says, the thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. So even though it's a new move of God, guess what? It's already been. It's already somewhere. It's already been. It's already in the heart of God. I love this. Noah. Yes, God. Noah, build an ark because it's going to rain. Hang on. What is rain? We've never seen rain. And certainly, what is an ark? God said, Noah, it's going to rain. I want you to build an ark. But I want you to hear this. It had rained. God had spoken about rain before. In Genesis 2, verse, I think it's 6, it says, there was no man to till the ground, therefore there was no rain. Noah says, God, you've spoken of rain before, but God, it was not in my age. That was in the pre-Adamic age. That was in an age even before I was. And God's saying, come on, what's been past is now. Noah, you can go into the worlds to come and the worlds past, you can take a prophetic word that wasn't even for you, Noah, and you can bring it into today. And I want to tell you, there are prophetic words in this nation that you have not even been part of. You weren't even born. Some of your grandparents weren't even born. But God is saying, come on, go back. Take hold of some of those prophetic words over this nation. This nation is Great Britain. It's time to take some of those words back and bring them into today and break them open today. Noah, it's a pre-Adamic word, Lord. This was not even spoken about in my time. And God's saying, come on, there are words that have been that weren't even in your age. There are words that weren't even in your time. But it's time to go back. It's time to get the words of the future. And it's time to get the words of the past. And it's time that we broke some things open in our nation. Noah could do it. It's the law of first mention. In other words, Noah went back. And in an age that wasn't even his. In a time that was not his. Words that were spoken by God even before man was created. That there was no rain on the earth because there was not a man to till the ground. That was the only time rain had been mentioned. And Noah says, God, it was before my time. And God said, I don't care. The past, the present, the future is all in me. So just come into me and you can take hold of the past and bring it into your present. What has God promised you? What's been in your family? What's been in this city? What's been in your city? What are the words that have been spoken over this land? I want to tell you, there are words in this nation. Well, I wasn't part of it. I don't care. Be like Noah. Okay, I'm going to take those words and I'm going to bring them into today. Every word that Wesley spoke, every word that some of the old revivalists spoke, it's time to grab those words. And so those words, they were not fully fulfilled under them, but they're fulfilled in me. God, I want it in my time. Revival is breaking out because I'm here. God says, Genesis 2 verse 6, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. Can you imagine getting Noah, it's going to rain. What? Who's going to believe me? Noah, it doesn't matter if no one believes you. Noah, you just take hold of the word that I've given you. You've taken hold of that promise. And Noah, you contend and you bring it into today. There was no rain, for there was no man. You know what the word man means? It's the word abad. There was no man, Adam, to till. Till is abad, and it means to labor, to serve the ground. The ground there is the Hebrew word adama. You know, we are made. God says, Noah, don't you understand that when man serves the earth, rain comes? Can you imagine when we start to serve the earth? Noah created a new language and he created a new sound. You imagine when you walk past and churches say, God, bring revival, and you start to pray, God, we are revival. It's a new language. Noah had to reach into an age that wasn't even his yet. It wasn't his. It was pre-Adam. Do you know, in 1938, if you look it up on the internet, there was a movie made by Hollywood. And if you look it up, there's a woman walking with a mobile phone. It's a black and white movie. It wasn't put in there afterwards. It was put in that movie. What happened? A Hollywood director, not even a Christian, reached into the future and downloaded something. And if you look, I've looked at it. I've watched it. And there she is holding this big mobile phone, talking on the phone. And the director was asked later and he said, I don't know what that was. I just felt to put it in there. 1938. We were still flat out, you know, with these sort of phones back then. I had a limousine ride with Professor Graham Clark, laureate. And he's the guy who made the cochlear implants. And he's as deaf as a post, which is hilarious. And I said to him, Professor! I had to yell, yes! I said, how did you know to make this? I wanted to know, how did he know? He said, you know, when I was 8 years old, he said, it was like I saw it. It was like, he said, I knew that I had to do it. I saw it. I saw it in my mind's eye when I was eight. And he said, and I just made it. What is in our eye? What is in our mind? What? We should be walking in the things of the future. Healing should be breaking out in Billericay every single day because we're seeing it. We're walking in it. It's ours. As he is, so are we. Can you imagine? Oh, well, I don't think I've got enough faith. Hello, are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus? Yes. Hello, you got faith. Guess why? Because he's in you. It's not about you. Aren't you glad? Come on. If we can see something, if we can start to see, Hebrews says that there are those who have tasted the powers of the age to come. That word age is aeon. It means the eternal past and the eternal future. We have tasted it. We've seen it. Oh, can you imagine? Come on, Great Britain, you know what? We've got to start to taste the revivals of the past, the revivals of the future. Can you imagine when we bring them together, what's going to happen in this nation? The dead are about to rise. The dead. I'm telling you, in this church, people, we had it in Germany. I think it was just after I left you. We're sitting there, we're in a worship service. Now, there was one thing, I was a nurse, I was a bad one. But there was one thing I always knew. I could tell when someone was about to drop dead. Great gift. I just knew. I would get on duty and say, that person's going to die. I'm standing there in church and I turn around and I looked at a woman and I knew. I was like, this is not a good time for this gift to work now, God. It really isn't. Next minute we hear bang on the floor. And at first people thought she'd just, you know, gone out under the power. And he had, all right. She was dead as a doornail. Well, we soon realized that. Nurses, doctors were there. Do you know what? The dead, that she died in church. So what do you do? Well, I couldn't believe it. We'd had such a move of God in that church at that time. Germany. Germans. You know what I mean? I am worshiping the Lord. And that's what it was like. God just came in and blew them apart. Now they've got a dead person in their church. I'm thinking, how are they going to handle this? We just said, Father, life. We just declared life, 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 life. And then they just started worshipping. Well, the poor musicians, he was flat out just trying to do anything. So he's playing something like, you know, behold, it's going so fast. You know, he's going faster and faster and faster. He's getting panicky. And everyone's just got their hands up. Well, an ambulance didn't arrive for 35 minutes. Do you know how dead someone is in 35 minutes? They're dead. They come in. And they said, well, she's dead. They pronounced her dead. They said, they called the doctor to come in and write the death certificate. She's in church. She's dead. But God, we just stood there. I couldn't believe it. I just looked around and I thought, they're all just pressing into God. They didn't even care. She's dead. Oh, well, just drag her out. Come on, we're going. That's what it was like. And that's what's going to happen in this move. We're just worshipping 35 minutes. Now the doctors come in and said she's dead. We just kept on worshipping more. I couldn't believe it. 40 minutes later, they put her on the trolley. They're wheeling her out. She sits up and says, I'm not going anywhere. I haven't finished worshipping. I'm like, the pastor said, what do we do? I said, get her to hospital. We don't want a lawsuit. You know what I mean? She was out of hospital that night. I'm telling you, God is about to do this in the church. And in England, the dead are going to rise. Ah, can you imagine it? Can you? I want to get your expectation up. Come on. Can you imagine what's going to happen? We've got that. It happened here before Smith Wigglesworth. I mean, he threw people against the wall, babies against the wall in your nation. Raised from the dead. What's happened? England, come on, the lion wants to roar. Oh, you need an Aussie, I think. Roar! Don't be nice. Come on, are you contending for this? Do you want to see the dead raised? Do you want to see deaf ears every time you walk? You just walk into the church and people start getting healed. That's what happens now. In our church, people just get healed before they even come to the front. Deaf ears. We just see it healed all the time. Someone's healed. There's this. We've got a pastor who, the time of the angel, the visiting speaker kept looking at him and saying, you will live and not die. That was a nice prophetic word. There was nothing wrong with him. Every time he turned around, you will live and not die. 2 weeks later, he got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Stage 4 bowel cancer. Had secondaries in his lung. They gave him weeks to live. Well, look at James now. Totally healed and they cannot find cancer anywhere. You will live and not die. Come on. That's what's coming. That's what's here. It's not coming. It's here. On the street. See him saved. Oh, grab the eternal future and the eternal past. And let's see those words. Be fulfilled. Can you imagine the fulfilling of both in our time? Now, he holds all things. And let me just, I'm sorry about tonight. I just felt something had to break tonight, especially in this room. Because I can tell you, I can even see some of the words that have happened. There's been an incantation in this room. Ha ha ha. We laugh at you, devil. That's the best he can do. I can hear it. I know what's happened. There's even been a seance in this room. That's the best you can do. Our God is so much greater. And I just felt tonight, just break some things. I want to get your expectation up. Like tonight, you know, we have it at home even. A word of knowledge. Oh, I wonder if that's me. Diabetes, you're in the last stage. And, oh, I wonder if that's me. 20 minutes later, they come up and say, I think that might be me. I think? I want to say, you think? You're already in pain. Hello? It's you. Can you imagine if we contend? We get a word of knowledge like was tonight. That's me. Come on. I'm believing God. I'm healed. That's it. What do you need? Pull it down tonight. Oh, when we step into glory, when we step into this realm of glory, we experience the future, we taste the eternal. Now let me finish with just two things. Have you ever wondered about the Syrophoenician woman? She's there. Imagine, the pastor sends out an email like that, you're a dog. I think you'd get offended, wouldn't you? You're a dog. Well, that's what Jesus said to her. You're a dog. She said, well, even the dogs can get under the table and get the children, you know, get the crumbs. Hang on, she's a Gentile. Jesus hadn't been to the cross yet. And she said, I'm going to get it. Do you know that one woman, think about it, a Gentile, she looked and said, there is a scripture written that says that the Gentiles will come to his rising. There is scriptures written that the Gentiles will be engrafted in. She said, I don't care if it's not my time yet. I don't care if that prophetic word isn't for me yet. I'm coming and I'm grabbing what is in the future. I'm grabbing it for now. Do you know that one woman, because of one act, all of the Gentiles could have come even before the cross. Have you thought about that? Because she was the law of first mention. What she did, she made a way. She said, I'm not moving, Jesus. I don't care. Call me a dog. Call me what you want. But I know that there is a scripture. And I know it might be the future. But I'm reaching in and I'm taking it for today. Oh, come on. Some of you need to take. Some of you have lost things. Do you know what the Bible says? Subtraction equals multiplication. How does that work? Subtraction equals multiplication. Some of you need to grab your prophetic words, your promises. Come on, you need to grab them. You need to grab them over your kids. You need to grab them over your nation. And I don't care, even if they've been passed, let's grab them and let's run with them now. It's our time. She reached in. Mary, the mother of Jesus, on the third day. On the third day. Should they go to a marriage in Cana? Why the third day? What day was the third day? Was it a Tuesday? A Saturday? I don't know. What's the third day? I love it. You're on your third year. I was looking at that tonight. Three in Numbers. Hebrew numbers. Number three is the letter Gimel. And I love Gimel. Gimel means this. It's a camel. It means provision. It means a rich man overtaking a poor man with provision. It means a man in motion who is bringing recompense. It's a picture of grace. It means loving kindness. The loving kindness of the Holy Spirit. On the third day, he was saying provision's about to come. Ha ha. Gimel, do you know there's something about a camel? Do you know you do not know that a camel is behind you until you smell its breath? It's so quiet. You can't tell that it's coming. You just smell it. Some of us need to know. We can't smell. We can't even tell. We can't see our provision. Those things that you think you've lost, you don't know where they're coming from. You don't know. You can't see it. You can't even see a move of God in your nation. All we can see is Europe in a mess, Paris in a mess. But God's saying there's a camel behind you. All you need to do is smell. All you need to do is lift up your head. Come on, God, I can smell my provision. It's in the air and I'm taking it now. You're all right. Y'all look very serious. And what sort of church is this again? On the third day, there's a wedding. What's a wedding where the two become one? And God says, you know, at the two become one. Why is it that was the first miracle? And I think I've talked about that here before, and I'm not going to go into it. But at the wedding, they ran out of wine. Mary turns around to her son and says, they've run out of wine. He says, woman. First word, woman. Not mom, not mama, not Mary. Woman. Why did he call her woman? Why was the first word Jesus said, woman? Why was the last word in the garden when Mary was looking and she thought that Jesus was the gardener, and he turns around and he says, woman, because he had to restore woman before he could restore the body. Why? Because there was a part taken out of Adam. God picked up the dirt, blew in the dirt, created this amazing being called Adam. And then put Adam to sleep and pulled out a part of Adam. Adam woke up and and man, and mwah was in front of him, not an elephant, not a camel, but mwah. And he goes, wow, she is, whoa, man, that is mankind with a womb, able to conceive and birth generational destiny and a move of God in the earth. That is who she is. Isn't that amazing? What is the church? She is a woman, but she is a son. The two became one. The first miracle had to be a wedding, because if the wedding was not and the marriage was not restored, then the body of Christ could never be restored. First word he said, woman, it is not my time yet. He's the Son of God. When was his time? Mary said, I don't care. I'm pulling the future. I've got a prophetic word over you, boy, and I want it now. I've waited 30 years, and 30 years is long enough. I want the word to come to pass now. Just do it. It wasn't even the Son of God's time. Mary pulled the future into today. I want to ask you, what is your word? What has God told you? What has God said to you? What has God said to you? Well, I'm going to finish, but I want to tell you something. If you feel that you've lost something, God's saying, remember, subtraction equals multiplication. God's about to multiply it. God's about to do something incredible. God's about to multiply your promise. God's about to multiply churches. God's about to multiply. You know, you thought you lost something. God's saying, subtraction equals multiplication with me. It has to be lost before it's found. Has to be lost before it's found. He doesn't find us, then lose us. We're lost, then we're found. And God's saying to you tonight, it had to be lost before it can be multiplied. It's not lost. Nothing in God's lost. It didn't just disappear. It's like the financial crisis. Where'd all the money go? Well, I went to Saudi Arabia. That's where it went. Just go to Dubai and you'll find where the money went. See, it wasn't lost. It didn't just fall off the planet. Oh, we've lost billions. America. Oh, we lost trillions overnight. Where did it go? China. It went somewhere. Nothing in God is ever lost. It's always there. It's still there. God's still got it. It's not lost. It's about to be multiplied. It's about to be multiplied. Subtraction equals multiplication. Ha ha ha. I love it. Jesus said, I'm dead. I'm gone. God, what's next? What do we do now? Subtraction equals multiplication. I've gone. God adds. Oh, well, I know that was a very messy preach tonight. But I'm telling you, God's about to do something. Are you ready? I tell you, you better get ready, boy. Son, I just hear God saying, son, you better get ready because you are so hungry and God's about to come through. He's going to do something. He's going to break you wide open. But he's going to shake you all around. And I'm telling you, there is a God is moving so much in you, through you. Get ready. Because what you've been asking for, God's about to do. God's about to do it. You're hungry. You want it. You just want an encounter. And I'm telling you, you're going to get encounters. As I've been preaching tonight, I felt the Lord say, I'm going to give you encounter after encounter. Just step into the realm. Just step into that realm. And as you step into that realm, God just breaks out. Are you ready? Holy Spirit. Well, Father, I don't know why, but I know, and I'm really sorry it was a messy preach. But I felt, I just wanted to say, come on, God's breaking out. God is breaking out. Papa.